Well, the title is Stick with Christ. We could put it another way and say no turning back, or we could put it another way and saying going on, carrying on, going forward with Christ. Because all of us face the temptation at time to back off, ease up and go back. I've been profoundly grateful for the day that I gave my life to Jesus, but there was a period before I met Sue where my life and my own walk with God got very stale and I began to drift. Not that I didn't believe in God. I tried to live as morally as I could. And as my career in management rose, so my commitment to Jesus faded. Until one night I went back to the flat which I shared with three other men, and I knelt down by my bed and I said to God, said to the Lord, "You're the only one that can make sense of my life. You have forgiven me, but I want to give you everything I have. I want you to be Lord of my life." It was an amazing moment. Fortunately, there was no one else in the flat that night, just me and the Lord. And the Lord met me very powerfully and reminded me, as I had received Jesus as Lord, I was to go on with him. So there are three things I just very briefly need to say and want to say from this passage. First of all, carry on as you began, as you received Jesus Christ as Lord. If you received him as Lord, you're under orders. As you received him as Lord, you not only gain forgiveness and new life, but you put yourself under his authority. And if there is something that comes through these verses, it is that Jesus is the head, has power and authority over everything, and that includes us. And when we came to Christ, we said, "Lord, you are to be Lord of my life." It was a decision we made at the outset that we were committed to him. The point is that we're on a faith journey. We're on a faith transforming journey. That's why Paul says, go on, continue on. It doesn't begin and end with that moment in Wembley Stadium or that moment by your bedside. It is a day by day walk, continuing with Jesus as Lord, wherever that leads you, wherever that may take you. And I have to say, my wife and I have been through some amazing experiences over the 40 years we lived and worked in Asia, whether it was Thailand, whether it was in Singapore, whether it was traveling throughout Asia or the world. As we went with Jesus, we saw Jesus do amazing things for us. It's the life of a transforming journey. And I guess the question I'd like to ask you tonight, are you seeing, however young you are you seeing your life change? Is there a transformation process going on? Continue as you began. It is a journey of transformation. It's not the same journey for all of us. We have different ways in which God is going to take us on that journey. But he is with us through that journey. It isn't that Jesus, as it were, as your Lord, I send you out and you're on your own. No. He is there with us all through our experiences. I remember David Watson, a wonderful evangelist, describing how playing rugby, as he was running down the track, and the kind of whatever the New Zealander rugby player who was built like a tank was standing in front, as it were, people of immense size. As he ran towards them with the ball, he heard a voice behind him saying, "With you, with you." And what a reassurance that brought, as he could pass the ball and avoid the crunch of tackles. And Jesus says, "I am with you. I am with you to the very end of the age. I am with you." And the faith journey says, "I am with you." Different pathways. I think of a colleague of mine in Thailand who's now with the Lord. He was my senior missionary. And we would go out on our motorbikes on a Sunday, every Sunday, going out into the villages in the heat and the dust and the unresponsiveness. And we would come back at the end of the day. We'd given out tracts. We'd preached in coffee shops, under trees, in homes. And he would say to me at the end of it all, we're hot and dusty, he'd say, haven't we had a great day? And I would say, well, I'm exhausted. And nobody believed. He said, David, hasn't it been a great day? Because we have been able to offer Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, to the people of Thailand. You know, he lived and worked in central Thailand from the mid-50s till he retired in the early 90s and went to be with the Lord. And on the last report that he wrote, after all that effort and unresponsiveness, he wrote his report and said, it has been an unbelievable privilege to be here in Thailand and to share the good news of Jesus and the Word of God that is not only able to make us wise to salvation, but is able to set people free in Christ. His great magnus opus was that he wrote a commentary on the book of Isaiah and left that as a legacy to the people of Thailand. Fantastic man. Perhaps the godliest man I've ever worked with, who could still say at the end of a hot, steamy, 40-degree day, it's been a great day. Roland Bell. How do we grow? Well, it's very simple, isn't it? Two metaphors: rooted, built up, and strengthened. God's activity is that he chooses us in Christ. He is the only foundation. And Christ grounds us in strength. He roots us into Jesus, and he puts a foundation, Jesus, the only foundation, and he strengthens us. Think of it this way. Think of Jesus as your personal trainer, who's there building your muscles up, putting you through a spiritual gymnasium, a circuit training of spiritual disciplines that are going to be there to make you strong in the Lord. Disappointments, yes, but through those, growth. Things that change, disturbing events, and yet those which he works to strengthen us. So make sure you're rooted and grounded, built up and strengthened in him, as you were taught. When I gave my life back and rededicated my life to the Lord that night in the flat, God gave me a passion for his word and a love for his word. And that has never, never left me. And I would urge you and ask you to ask that the Lord gives you a love for his word, because it is the word of God that is able to build a salvation. As you were taught, make sure you're reading the word of God. Make sure you're listening to what God is saying. Make sure you're knowing God better and better each day, each week, each month. Ask him to keep you fresh, enthusiastic in the word of God. And there's one other little thing that he says too. He says, make sure you've got buckets full of thankfulness. Buckets full, overflowing with thankfulness. Are you a thankful person? Are you a thankful person for the way that God organizes your life, the way that as you ground, build your life on Jesus Christ, he is going to take you through the tests, the trials, the gymnasium that is able to build you up and make you a stronger person. Do you know, when I applied, Sue and I applied to OMF, I came out of a totally secular management background. I have a theological degree now, but my background was in management. And I really thought, there is no way that OMF as a missionary society is ever going to take me, and with that background, into their ranks. And the amazing thing is, many years later, when I became general director, I found that the organizational skills that God had given to me back in those years in a secular appointment were helpful in the change management. God doesn't waste anything. The change management that OMF went through was one that I could help steer through. Okay, that's the first thing. Going on and growing up. I hope you're going on, and I hope you're growing up with Christ. Stick with Christ. This is going for gold with Jesus. But there are, secondly, dangerous distractions and attractive alternatives. That's why in verse 8, Paul says very loudly, see to it. He's not just saying, oh, by the way, I'd almost forgotten. Just make a note of this. He's actually yelling. I don't know if you've been watching any sport, but if you look at the coaches on the touchline of a football match or whatever the activity is, they are, I was going to say, yelling instructions. Well, Jesus doesn't yell. But there is a warning from Paul. See to it. These are alarm bells. There is an attractive alternative coming your way. See to it. Danger ahead. Look out. When Sue and I were on holiday up in the Cameron Highlands in Malaysia, where our three children went to school, we went for a walk in the jungle, little realizing that the Malaysian army, very close by, were about to have some practice drills. And suddenly we're caught in the crossfire of two opposing armies, the Malaysian army dividing themselves up into two, firing, and we're right in the middle. We obviously missed the sign that says, do not come this way, it's dangerous. Well, that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, don't miss out. It's avoidance at all cost. That's what he's saying. Well, what's the problem? Well, he's writing, and there's background to this, which you will discover as you go through the book, of alternative ways of experiencing God that sound so attractive, so appealing. They take you through a series of regulations that will lift you to the highest level into what seems to be fullness. No wonder Paul talks about fullness. But he's saying, watch out, this is dangerous stuff. And if you're not sticking with Jesus, you're going to be in real trouble. He says, see to it, no one takes you captive. There's a danger there. You could be captured through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition. I want to recommend a book to you, which we recommended yesterday. It's called A Wind in the House of Islam. Let me read to you the testimony of a Muslim convert who says these words. 4 years ago, I thought Jesus was only a man, but after what happened to me, I know that he is my God. As a university student, I studied business management, but I also studied Islamic apologetics. Though I was a Hafiz, that is, one who was a scholar, I had memorized the Quran, I still had questions. So I studied other religions, and I concluded that they all religious books and systems were man-made, except for one, the Injil, the New Testament. And when I read it, I felt that it was not man-made. And then the story goes on about this person's journey of faith. Man-made, how amazing. Here's Paul saying, look out for those alternatives. But then when you boil them down, they are man-made. They've come out of the ideas of people. They have not come as revelation from God through the scriptures. They are deceptive. They will take you off course. So be careful. They depend on human tradition. Be aware. I once asked somebody in working in a bank, How do you detect, probably some of you know this, may even be bankers here, hooray. How do you tell a counterfeit banknote from the real thing? Well, I always thought that you studied fakes. But they said, absolutely not. You study and study and study the real thing. And when you have studied a banknote thoroughly, carefully, time and time again, you know when you see a fake. Now let me say again to you, study the scriptures as you were taught, the scriptures able to make us wise, able to help us detect what is true from what is false. And there are many attractive alternatives. He says, beware, they are empty, hollow. No, he says, that's not the way it is. Avoid at all cost. It isn't fullness through a system of ascetic self-denials and regulations that will get you. The fullness is in Christ. All the fullness of the deity is in Jesus in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. You have it all. That's what Paul is saying. So avoid at all costs those dangers. Finally, what is it then in Jesus he promises us? What do we lose? You know, I don't know if you remember, in 2012, an amazing Chinese vase was discovered in the attic of a family where it had laid in the dust for many years. And the owners, the parents had died, and the brother and sister came to clear out the attic and to clear all the bric-a-brac that was there. And they found this Chinese vase, antique vase. And they put it on an auction. You know the story? The auctioneer said, well, it's probably worth about £800,000. And they thought, well, that's great. It finally, when the hammer fell, it was sold for £51 million. An antique vase that had laid in an attic gathering dust could have fallen off the shelf and smashed. My friends, in Jesus, we don't have an antique vase. We have one who has all the fullness of God in bodily form, and we are fulfilled with him. It's a wonderful thing when a tie comes to Jesus Christ, and you see how they are freed from their past, freed from their entrapments, freed from their system that has bound them hand and foot, and to see the freedom and the fullness that Jesus brings to them. And here are just three things, and I will close with those, that being in Christ gives us. He gives us fullness. You cannot get closer to God than walking with Jesus Christ. You don't need a system of regulations. You don't need an ascetic trail to take your body through. You need one who says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you fullness. That's why John's gospel can speak of, out of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. And I tell you, when a tie discovers grace after a lifetime of making merit and never making enough, to discover grace is a wonderful truth. In Christ you have been brought to fullness. Second thing is that there's freedom, verses 11 and 12. He has set us free from our selfishness, our self-centeredness, from the old life. What he says, in him you were circumcised, in the putting off of the old nature. What a freedom that is. Be free of the kind of person you know you don't like. You know, in the end, when you look in the mirror, you wish you were someone else. Your old whole self, heart, mind and will, has been dealt with and put off. And that's what Jesus has done. And finally, forgiveness. Freedom from guilt and the charge sheet. It says here, he took the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. I was telling at supper my grandchildren how bad I was when I was at school and got a school report with a C- for all my exams. And I thought, I'm very nervous here, because taking that back to my parents is not going to be a happy occasion. So I have to tell you, I took a pen and made the minus into a plus, which seemed to be a very good thing. Then I was faced with a dilemma, because how do I hand the report back to my form teacher, where there's obviously been a fiddle going on? And you know, there was a dilemma. I couldn't erase the minus to a plus, because I did an ink plus, and I couldn't erase the plus back to a minus. You know what it says here? That Jesus has dealt with us. The only person that could solve my dilemma was my teacher, who could take who could take my book, my report book, and he could take the page and he could tear it out and say, it's as if it wasn't there. I understand why you cheated, David. That's very bad, but I want to deal with it. And he could tear it out of the book. And that's exactly what it says here. He has taken all that was written against, all the things that we've done, all the things that are piled up in a book, as it were. And he's the only one. He has taken it out and he has nailed it to the cross. He died in order that we might be forgiven. He died to make us free. And in so doing, he disarmed powers and authority. He has triumphed over the things, the powers that would drag us down. And I need to stop. But may I just close with one little story, which I told yesterday, but it's going for gold. It's sticking with Jesus. It concerns one of the very first converts in central Thailand, a man who was an actor in a Thai drama group and who was performing. And one of our early missionaries had very little language. He was a new worker, probably not much older than some of you. And he was playing a gospel record, a gospel recording, because he couldn't preach in Thai very well. And as in Thai houses, no windows, no doors, the sounds float out. Mr. Samyong, the actor, heard this message. And he followed it through until he got to the house where Roy Ferguson was living. And he said, I've heard this message. Please, will you help me to understand what it means, what that message is? And Samyong became a Christian, one of the very first Christians in central Thailand. And he remained faithful. He stuck with Jesus. Many didn't. But he did, right to the end. He wrote hymns. He was a wonderful pastor. He was a great personal friend. And at the end of a Sunday service, he went home and the Lord took him home. I preached at his funeral service. And as we came out of the little country church in the middle of a field, we got in to take the body to the cemetery. And strangely enough, there at the head was a police car, a police van. And I said to the Thai, what's that for? And he said, oh, they're going to escort us. Well, that's impressive. Anyway, we drove in convoy with the police at the front, and we got to the Asian Highway, which is the main four-lane highway from Bangkok up to Chiang Mai, up to the north. And when we got to the Asian Highway, we needed to go across, turn right to the cemetery. And wouldn't you know it, the police stopped the traffic. And we all went across in convoy. That's not the significant thing. The Thai said to me, David, the police never stop the traffic except for royalty. And I thought, Samyong, God has just honored your faith, your journey, and your commitment to him. And God has made sure that others know that you're not just a Thai actor, you're royalty in the family of God. So go on and grow up. Avoid distractions and receive the fullness of Jesus and the freedom he gives and the forgiveness that he offers.